So we're asking that question, have you ever done something that seemed like a really good idea before and after you realized it was a really bad idea? And we all have kind of these dumb things that we did, but there's something that we tend to do on a regular basis that at the time, it sounds like a really good idea, but it's a really bad idea. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you're here tonight and ask yourself this question. Right now, are you currently, and don't answer out loud, just in your own heart, are you mad at someone? Are you mad at someone? Do you know what you're mad about? See, there are a lot of people, you talk to them and you have them say, we're not friends because they did this. And they go back to this elaborate story. Maybe it was days, weeks, months, even years. And I've heard some of these stories, and they've sat across my office, and they're trying to figure out why they're having emotional problems and all these kind of things. And I'll ask them that question, are you mad at somebody? And they're like, yes, there's this one person, or there's this parent, or there's this friend, or there's this sibling, or there's this coach, or there's somebody. And sometimes I've listened to the stories, and I'm like, wow, I get why you're mad. But a lot of times I'm listening to them, I'm like, boy, that's a really lame reason. See, we hold grudges all the time. And I've heard people hold grudges for days, weeks, months, even years. I think I've told you all this before, but I know a pastor who had two ladies in the church that hadn't talked in 10 years because on Easter they both wore the same dress, and the one said to the other, I look way better in it than you. And everybody that came into the church had to pick which lady they were going with. It was a divided church. And here's the thing, and you guys will understand this, because no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you're going through, what stage of life you're in, this is a lie. As we finish this series on Deceived, this is a lie that we embrace all the time. And it's this: holding a grudge always feels like a good idea. Holding a grudge always feels like a good idea. Doesn't it always feel like a good idea? Like in the middle when somebody's hurt you and like, I'm mad at them and I don't care. And you all know, you guys are here on Wednesday night, you know the Bible pretty well. You know what the Bible says about it, and we're going to talk about it tonight. We all know what the Bible says about it, but we don't care. Because in the moment, in this point in my life right now, holding a grudge always feels like a good idea. And the reverse of that is this: forgiveness is always a good idea, even when it feels like the opposite is true. Forgiveness is always a good idea, even when it feels like the opposite is true. Because here's what we know. Revenge and holding a grudge in the moment seems so satisfying, doesn't it? It's like, oh, to hold on to this. Because if we let go of that grudge, then that person will get away with it. And they shouldn't be able to get away with it. But here's what we all know if we've lived long enough and we've gone through this. We know that holding a grudge doesn't work. We know that holding a grudge doesn't work. Do you know why we know holding a grudge doesn't work? Because you're still holding on to the grudge. You see, if holding on to it helped you to eventually stop holding on to it, then I would tell you, hold on to it. But it doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work because in all my years of pastoring, in all my years of living, here's what I've never heard. I've never heard one good grudge story. Oh, Pastor Joe, our marriage was struggling, and we decided that we were going to hold grudges against each other. And ever since then, our marriage has been healed. Never heard that, have you? Oh, Pastor Joe, my kid did something, and man, I decided I was going to hold that against them, and me and my son, we've never been closer. Here's what I'm saying is, in any relationship, there are no good grudge stories. Holding a grudge doesn't work, because what we're going to find is grudges don't just hurt the other person. What you're going to end up finding is grudges hurt us more than they hurt anybody else. Maybe somebody said something bad about you. Somebody gossiped about you. Somebody did something that hurt you, and you're like, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to get them back. And I don't know about you, but have you ever had conversations in your mind when somebody said something that hurt you, and you replay it over and over again, and after thinking about it, you come up with the perfect comeback? Have y'all been there? You know what I'm talking about? I was like, oh, I just hope they come at me again because I got it all ready to go. You, in your mind, you school them and say, some of you are like, well, Pastor Joe, I don't think that quickly on my feet, and I sure wish that I could, and I could get them back, and I'd feel so much better. Can I just tell you, as someone who's really good at coming back in the moment, it's not a gift. It's a curse. It's not, oh, I wish I could just burn them when I could. No, it's not. Watching, and I've done this before, and coming back to either get a laugh or to try to get revenge, and you watch the life go out of their eyes, and the hurt goes so deep. I've done it to my wife. I've done it to my children. I've done it to people that I pastor. I've done it to my friends. I've done it to my parents. It is not fun. It is not fun. Because here's the idea that I want us to see tonight. The more you hold a grudge, the more the grudge has a hold on you. The more you hold a grudge, the more a grudge has a hold on you. In Latin America, a lot of times they don't use guns to kill the monkey infestation. They don't need to. What they end up doing is they get a bottle with a that kind of comes down into a slim neck with an opening, and then what they do is they put a monkey treat in it, and then the monkey comes along, smells the treat, puts its hand in it, and grabs onto the treat. And then the hunter comes along to kill it. And all the monkey has to do is let go of the treat and get out of it and run away. But you know what that monkey will not do? He will not hold on, let it go. Because he's afraid somebody else will get that treat and he'll hold on to it to the point that it will kill him. You see, there's a lot of us, we're holding on to something because we're afraid that if we let it go, somebody will get away with it and somebody will do it. But here's at the end of the day, when you hold a grudge, you ultimately suffer more than the other person. See, a lot of people hold grudges to make the other person hurt. And this is what's kind of funny. I've held grudges against people that when they found out I was holding grudges against them, weeks, months, years later, they're like, you were mad at me? I never knew. And here I thought I was making them suffer. I wasn't making them suffer. I was making me suffer. I like what one author said. He said, holding a grudge is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die from it. Just doesn't work. See, the issue of forgiveness is something that we all wrestle with. And if you live long enough, if you're close in any relationships, people are going to hurt you. Do you know that we're all, as a church family, we're going to be around each other enough over the years that I'm going to say, or you're going to do something, or I'm going to say, do something to hurt. And here's what we got to be able to do. We can't hold grudges because grudges destroy relationships. They destroy families. They destroy church families. And we just have to be able to deal with it. Nobody's perfect. We all struggle with sin. We all struggle with self-dependence. We all live in the flesh from time to time. And when we do those things, we're going to hurt other people. So the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 literally talks about this. He addresses this very common problem. And look at what he says. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Here's what that word recompense means. Do not repay. Don't repay anybody evil for evil. So when they give you evil, here's what we want to do. Give it right back. So when somebody comes at you, right? Somebody comes at you. I'll see if I can illustrate it this way. Somebody comes at you. Here, Jordana, catch. They come here, oh, they didn't do that. So you know what you want to do? Give it right back. And you know what the person looking like? Oh, it's like hot potato. No, I'm not doing it. And then she's like, oh, I'm not holding on to this. And so it goes back and forth. And you know what? Things don't ever get better. And what the Bible says is don't repay anyone evil for evil. But here's the thing we need to understand, and this is what the Bible's, it's not saying that what was done to you wasn't wrong. It's saying this, recompense no man evil for evil. The Bible is recognizing that what was done to you was evil. It was not right, and that's the hard part of holding a grudge, is we think that by forgiving them, in some way, they get away with it. But understand this, and we're going to talk about this, they don't get away with it. evil was done to you. Maybe a parent left when you were younger and they hurt you, or maybe a friend when you went to lunch didn't let you sit at their table, or maybe they did something, or maybe you were passed over for a promotion. Evil was done to you. People did hurt you, and understand this. The Bible is not denying the evil that was done to you. And here's what's natural. When somebody does evil to you, what's the natural response? To get revenge. But what Scripture says is it's never evil for evil. Nobody pays people back with nice. Most people pay people back with more evil. So then it goes, evil for evil, for evil, for evil. And then we start to get creative. Oh, how can I get hurt? And we start looking for more ways that we can make it hurt more. Maybe we'll make sure that we kind of make the blade a little sharper on the key so when she catches it, it'll cut her. It's evil for evil for evil. Evil. And here's what the Bible is telling us to do. When somebody gives you evil, don't leave it in your hands. Don't leave it in your hands. What is 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But you're thinking, well, if I let it go, that's not fair. Who's going to make things right? It's my job to take care of my business. But if you don't, if you don't let it go, look at what verse 19 says. Dearly beloved, he's saying, listen, I love you. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Say, Lord, so he's saying, my friends, those that I love, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't take revenge. What do we need to do? We've got to give it to the Lord. So take your hurt and don't hold on to it and say, here, Lord, here's my pain. Here's my hurt. When we hold grudges and seek to get revenge, this is what we're doing. Do you see what it says here at the bottom? Vengeance is whose? Mine. Who's mine? Lord. This is what we like to change scriptures like this. Vengeance is mine, saith Joe. I will repay. No, 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 no. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And can I tell you something? God can handle the hurt that was done to you. God can handle revenge. He can do some things to get people's attention. You know how I know? Just go to Exodus and look at the plagues. That's way more than I could do to anybody. Not that you give it to God so he'll get them worse. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying God can handle it. You see, this is the interesting thing. When we want revenge, what do we want to do to the people? We want to hurt them. But here's what we need to understand. When we seek revenge, all we want to do is hurt them. But what God wants to do is heal them. See, when you hurt me or when somebody hurts me, I want them to hurt like I hurt. But when God sees somebody do evil to you, he'll bring pain to heal them. We bring pain to hurt them. Huge difference. And what we need to understand is this. Evil for evil, when we recompense evil for evil, when we try to go evil for evil for evil for evil, guess what? In that situation, when we're going back and forth, there's no room for God. We don't make any room for God. So, what comes next? Look at verse 21. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Listen, you don't overcome evil with evil. That's just, you overcome evil with good. Because when I pass back the evil, she's like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to one-up you. And oh yeah, well, I'm going to one-up you. And then it doesn't get better in that way. You don't overcome bitterness with more anger. So you know what we all need to understand? You know what we all need to stop being tonight? We need to stop being the monkey. We're holding on to that tree. We're holding on to what we think is coming for us. And here's what we need to do. We need to let it go. We need to not put evil in our hands. And we've got to put good in there. We don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. You want to try doing something hard in your life? Overcome evil with good. When you do something nice for somebody you absolutely can't stand, that's difficult, but God will give you the power and the grace to do this. So based on that, how do we overcome evil with good? How do we do that? So, okay, that's a great verse, but what do I do? What does that mean exactly? Somebody gives me a compliment, do I give them $5? Somebody say, you know what? You're mean. Okay, here you go. Here's $5. Is that what I need to do? Just give them money? Or when they say I'm ugly, do I just give them a compliment? What does all that look like? Well, here's the thing when it comes to a grudge is this. Forgiveness breaks the power of a grudge. Here's what forgiveness does. It stops the evil for evil for evil for evil for evil for evil. It stops it. And as long as I care about getting somebody back and holding a grudge, then I'll never be able to fully deal with the hurt. And here's what's so great about forgiveness. And some of you, it so goes against everything inside of us because it's not natural to do this. But forgiveness brings healing. It brings healing. But more importantly than it brings healing, you know what Scripture says? Forgiveness sets you free. It's not saying that what they did to you was okay. It's not saying that at all. But it's deciding that I am not going to hold what you did against you anymore. So one of the things that you have to do, and this is not easy, but that's why you have a blank side of the back of your paper, is you need to make a list of people that you have grudges against. Lord, who do I have a grudge against? Now, some of you, it's not going to be hard because you think about them all the time. But you know what I found in my life? There are people that I've just kind of ignored for so long that I thought that I had dealt with, that when you ask this question, God, am I holding a grudge against somebody? Will you reveal it to me? Take a moment. Think about how you've been negatively affected by holding on to a grudge. Then pray and ask God to give you the grace to forgive. So the question is what do you need to forgive? What is it that you need to forgive? Now listen, that person doesn't need to come to you with an apology in order for you to forgive them. Did you know that? Well, when they say I'm sorry, I'll forgive them. No. You can forgive them without them ever apologizing, because once you forgive them, you're free to move on with your life. And then as God works in their life, you see, when they don't seek the forgiveness, they're the one causing a breach in the relationship. But when you forgive, there's nothing holding you back. Because isn't that what Jesus does with us? He forgave us on the cross. And when we sin against him, he didn't do anything that holds us between him. It's what we do that holds us between him. And so here's the last thing. You say, well, if I let it go, if I don't hold on to it, if I don't hold a grudge, then that's not fair. They might get away with it. Here's what Romans 12 is all about. Romans 12 is taking your hurt to God and trusting him with it. It's not putting it back on the person that hurts you. It's not putting it on yourself. It's letting it go and giving it to God, because what we need to understand is this. Forgiveness is not about being fair. It's about being free. We're going to talk about this in depth next year. We're going to talk for a number of weeks on forgiveness, but I think it's always good to talk about forgiveness. The Bible talks about it all over the place. Number one, we need to forgive because Jesus forgave us. So if you're a believer, a follower of Christ, forgiveness ought to be what you're looking to do. If you're walking in the Spirit, you will forgive. If you're walking in the flesh, it will be very different and difficult for you to forgive. So do you need to forgive? Forgiveness sets you free. Because this is what I found. The person unforgiveness hurts most is you, and the person forgiveness helps most is you. When we refuse to forgive, you may think you're hurting the other person. You're not hurting them like you're hurting you. But when you do forgive, the one you're helping the most is you. Because here's what I know. Whenever you choose God's way of doing things, he will help you. Because the more you hold a grudge, the more a grudge will have a hold on you. And all of us are just a bunch of people acting like monkeys. We have a hold of the tree, and here comes the hunter ready to destroy us, and all we got to do is let it go. And you're like, I will not let this go, even if it kills me. And you know what ultimately I found? It will. Holding a grudge has destroyed more, maybe not the death of a person, but grudges cause death of relationships all the time. You know what's worse? I've seen somebody hold a grudge from one season of their life, and they carry it with them into another season of life, and the person who didn't do anything to hurt them has to bear the brunt of somebody that hurt them when they were younger or in a different season of their life. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want somebody that hurt you before and then somebody innocent have to pay for what you did. So the more you hold a grudge, the more a grudge has a hold on you. Let's read that passage one more time together. Recompense to no man evil for evil, verse 17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Kind of sounds like what we talked about Sunday. Be honest. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This is what I think is funny. People come to you, well, it's impossible to have peace with them. No. Did you see the next part? If it is possible, as much as lieth within you. Dearly beloved, what lies in followers of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Here's what I want you to think about doing. Somebody you're holding a grudge against, I want you to think about one nice thing you could do. Maybe it's a letter. Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's food. Hey, let's go. It's In-N-Out together. What? If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, you're not doing that so you can heap coals of fire on their head. I used to think that was the motivation, right? All right, I'll do anything that'll make them burn. No. What you're doing is by doing the right thing, when they're living in the flesh, it'll cause them to experience great conviction. And be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, I don't know what your context is, but here's what I know. The Holy Spirit inside you will guide you and tell you exactly what to do. But understand this, holding a grudge may sound like a good idea, but the more you hold a grudge, here's what you need to understand. It's actually the grudge that has a hold on you. So what do we need to do? Let it go. Let it go. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you work in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, this is something in all of our lives. We live long enough. People are going to hurt us. People are going to do wrong to us. People are going to do things that they can't undo. And Lord, it's not denying that what they did wasn't evil. It wasn't wrong. But Lord, it does not do us any good to hold on to a grudge. And so, Father, I pray that you work in each one of our lives tonight, that you help us to look at our lives and see, am I holding a grudge against somebody? And that, Lord, we realize that the pain we're causing is not on that person. It's actually on us. And Lord, may we trust you with the pain that we've received, and that, Lord, we can give it to you and you can take it away from us. So, Lord, I pray especially for some tonight that are struggling with this, and maybe for some time, Lord, I pray that you'd help bring us to a place of forgiveness, that we would see how much you've forgiven us. And Lord, I pray that you'd work those in this room. I pray that you work in our church. I pray that you work in all the people that we come in contact with. And Lord, we just make sure that our relationships are right and we not hold grudges moving forward. For it's your name I pray. Amen. All right. Does anybody have, I know that.